Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this day is Deuteronomy 18. Here again the part that reads, "The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken.'" You may be seated. I sat in the office with my father in Principal Anderson's office. You see, my bus driver had this policy that you'd go ahead and sit according to how you were let off on the bus. Well, I was one of the last, and so I had to sit in the back and also had to sit next to the seat where Schmidt was. You see, he got off right before me. Sitting in the next seat to me, he continually taunted me. "Schmidt just wouldn't leave me alone." Well, that was back when we lived at our old house, but we had moved to a different house and a different bus route, so I was free until sixth grade. You see, our high school went ahead and contained 6th through 12th grade. And, of course, Schmidt was there. One day, Schmidt saw me walk out of the high school building, and he took after me. So I dashed to my father's bus that was the nearest bus that was there. And the next day, my father took me to Principal Anderson's office to see how he could protect his boy. My father became my mediator. 40 years before, the Israelites had realized that they indeed were in trouble. When they stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, they saw the billowing smoke, the lightning flashing, and the trumpets blowing, and they heard the voice of the Lord God describe what their life should be like. Their lives didn't look like that. They took it as, we might say, God had laid down the law. That's what God's people understood when they heard the direct voice of God from the mountain. And they were afraid, thinking, God knows, and we're going to die. In Exodus chapter 20, they said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." And Moses said to them, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." That the fear of him may be before you, and you may not sin. This is the first use of the law. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The first use of the law is to do the one thing, because God is there, and you're scared so that you won't break the law. We see this what happens when people drive on the wrong side of the road, right? For any reason, we feel ourselves threatened so that we conclude that, you know what, it's better to drive on the right side of the road, because if I drive on the wrong side of the road, I know what might happen. So if everybody drives on the side that they're supposed to drive, they're protected, and I am protected as well. But what do you do when, or what do you do from getting hit head on and you can't protect yourself? At least these days you have those airbags. But that day the Israelites didn't have anything between God and them. Nothing to protect themselves, their sinful selves, from the holy God. They directly heard God's voice and they heard his commandments. There was nothing to protect them from what he demanded. You know the experience, if you can't pay your bills, if you can't pay your credit card, even if you can't pay your taxes, there's this fear. So you make a call. Make arrangements for someone to help mediate between who you owe and yourself, so that eventually you can either pay what you owe and maybe pay it off. We're desperate enough to file for bankruptcy. It's all because we want to live some kind of normal life. We all need, and we will even pay for a mediator, a defender, an advocate many times in our life. But when it comes to God, His law, and the way we ought to live, God knows that we cannot live His perfect way. God also knows that we need a mediator that we cannot afford. So when the people ask for a mediator between them and God, the Lord agrees and said it is a good thing that He will do. God had given them Moses. Eventually God would give them the judges. God would give them the prophets. Until John the Baptizer shows up, and then the religious leaders want to know. As we hear in John chapter 1, and they ask him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" John said, "No, I'm not." "Are you the prophet, as in Deuteronomy 18? He answered, "No." Then they asked him, "Why do you baptize if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And then John comes to point to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the prophet that Moses has spoken about and more. He is both God and man, the mediator that God had promised. But remember what happened in the gospel reading of Mark this day. You recall that Jesus cast the demon out of the man? Good for the man. But did you hear what it meant for the demons? The demon recognizes this Jesus of Nazareth for who he is. "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Even though everyone, including the demons, had saw this man Jesus, the demon sees the judgment of God himself in this person Jesus. The skin of Jesus made no difference for this demon. And therefore the demon asks of himself and all demons, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" To see past the skin of Jesus, to see past the human flesh, to meet God, to make Jesus less than human or only God is a terrible thing. Without God with skin on, you can only see the judgment of God. To hear God's voice without knowing the humanity of Jesus is to hear God as he spoke at Sinai. To have all your weaknesses, all your inabilities, all your past history, yes, all your sins exposed, and to live in fear. We need a mediator. You see, there are those religions that glory in the holiness of God. They speak of His glory. They sing of His glory. They love the blank cross and the pretty cross, the polished cross that's clean without the body of Jesus, as if His death is just something to be put in the past and forgotten. There are those who do not deny that it was terrible and unnecessary, messy. How can an unholy God be in the person of Jesus on the cross? You see, even the Muslim religion believe Jesus was human and died a human death. Yet they can't even believe that this Jesus is God. God is too holy for that. But even the demons believe this Jesus of Nazareth and shudder. For them, there is no mediator. Today we have the Lord's Supper celebrated among us. A Holy Communion is what we call it. We understand that those who receive it are communing with God. All Christians believe this to be so. But there is more here. And Jesus said it. When he instituted the supper and said, "The bread, this is my body." And he took the cup and said, "This is my blood." God before the incarnation has not flesh and blood. Some Christians want to protect God and his holiness from this mess of humanity and death. And so they say that this bread symbolizes, represents his body, and the wine symbolizes or represents his blood. In fact, some go so far as to deny that Jesus even is present in the supper in the whole person on earth, but that somehow your faith has to ascend to heaven to participate in the whole person of Jesus. They claim faith has to do things that God never intended and believe things that God has never said. But the scriptural truth is that all is necessary to believe that the simple words of Jesus, "This is my body, this is my blood," and when the bread is received and the body of Jesus is received, and when the wine is received, the blood of Jesus is received, the very Jesus who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Where St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:28, "It is the Lord's death that we proclaim." This Jesus, who died, who rose again, is our brother and our God. And when we hear the terror of God's law or fear of judgment day, we look to God who has skin on, Jesus Christ. We dare not look past his human flesh, but look at the whole person, God and man, in the one person, Jesus, present everywhere. For Jesus is the answer to the fear. "Let me not hear the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." Jesus is the fulfillment of which he spoke to his people of old. "I will raise up for you a prophet like you among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all I command him." For in Jesus we find the fulfillment of what we cannot do, the answer to the sins that we have, that we have done, and who we are, and the provision for the mediator that we cannot afford. Before the judgment of God, Jesus is our one and only mediator. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.